trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. This past Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension, and on Ascension Day, we remember Jesus ascending to the Father in heaven. I was speaking with my fellow colleagues of Bolton Hill, Rich Bazzelli and Andrew Foster Connor this week, and we were talking about how Ascension Day is in many ways the capstone to the Incarnation. In the Incarnation, God came and dwelled with us. At the Ascension, the Son, the human, goes to dwell with God. And sometimes that's the so much harder transition to make, to find God in our lives as human beings. At the Young Adults Retreat, which was 2 weekends ago, we spent some time talking about how we can find God in our daily lives. We talked about Sabbath, and one of the things that this group said is that for them, coming to Memorial Church and going to brunch afterwards and spending the day together, knowing they will Sunday after Sunday, is their form of Sabbath, which is a truly blessed thing. But we also talked how we find God in our week, and one of the pieces we took from Centering Prayer is to have a prayer sentence that you say when someone cuts you off in traffic, or when someone's nasty to you on the phone, or you're left on hold for hours and hours. Or your email goes out. Maybe you might like one, they are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. That's kind of long, but you get the idea, is that you have something in your mind. It might be, good Lord, deliver us, but it might be something else. But I think that transition of finding God in our lives is so hard, and it's especially hard when things change dramatically. The early church and all of these Eastertide lectionary readings are grappling what it is to go on being a community without seeing the person they love so much and who they followed, that good shepherd who, like sheep, they followed through danger, through the valley of the shadow of death, to the cross and beyond. I think also, though, death is that place for human beings that we have the most trouble sometimes finding God and believing in God and wanting to believe in God. The concept of death after the resurrection has changed too, but it takes us as human beings a while to figure that out. We talked about this in Godly Play, with how the good shepherd and the sheep come to the table and become the good shepherd and the bread and the wine. This week, I've finished a course with Roseanne Catalano at the Institute of Christian and Jewish Studies on our lives as Torah. And she told a story this week that cut to the deep in me in many ways and has been a sustaining piece for me in many ways. She talked about, and this is Memorial Day weekend, I thought that many of us think of those that we love that have gone before on Memorial Day. As I passed by the Delaney Valley Cemetery yesterday, I noticed all the American flags, and we remember those who have fallen in war. But my grandmother used to always make a Memorial Day trip to prune the rose bush at the cemetery on North Capitol Street in Washington, the McGill family plot. Each Memorial Day, she would tend the roses by her husband, my grandfather's grave, who had died way back in the 1920s. She did that for over 50 years. Roseanne told me this story about when her own mother had died when she was a young adult. And her mother had died, and they came to the next Mother's Day. And she grew up in a Roman Catholic family, and in her parents' bedroom, there was always the Blessed Virgin Mother area of the room. And in that corner of the room was a beautiful statue of the Virgin Mary. It was there for as long as Roseanne can remember. And she came home that weekend to see her father, and she happened to pass by the bedroom door, and she looked in, and she saw that there was an arrangement of flowers by the Blessed Virgin Mary. And as she came in further, she saw there was a Mother's Day card. And she couldn't quite bring herself to look in the card with her father in the house, so she waited for him to go to the grocery store, and she ran in the bedroom to see what her father had written. and he had written a card like he wrote every year to his wife, "Happy Mother's Day, I love you." It was like she was still alive. So she worried about her father, and at the dinner table that night, she had a moment and she said, "Dad, I want to ask you a question. Can you tell me a little bit about the Mother's Day card in the bedroom?" And her father, who was a man of few words, said to her, "Well, I know your mother's dead," like she was implying that he had lost his mind. But then he said something that really stayed with me. He said, "Roseanne, I knew how to love your mother while she was alive. Now my job is to learn how to love her now that she's died." I think that's the case for all of us when we lose someone we love, no matter when that is in your life. And this week, this Friday, I lost someone that was very special to me, my spiritual director, Paul Wessinger. He was a monk, former superior of the Society of St. John the Evangelist. And it came at a particularly hard time this week for me to lose him. Of course, he is in his 90s. He died peacefully in his sleep. But he's been one of those kind of wanderers that I talked about last week in life that has made such a great impression on so many people in the Episcopal Church, and especially clergy. He grew up in Oregon, kind of like Judith Mosley, and he made his way to the East Coast. He was a hiker. He loved the outdoors. He was tall and angular, and I always remember him loping across Virginia Seminary's campus in his black cassock that always had stains from whatever meal he just had. I loved Paul dearly, and one of the things that happened to him during his time as a monastic is he left the order because he was so upset with the movement of Orthodoxy. He came back and became superior, and he brought the Society of St. John the Evangelist into a place that is a welcoming place for women who are ordained, for those who are gay and lesbian, for those who are excluded in any way within the Episcopal Church and beyond. He was on that forefront of believing that God's love is an expansive love that includes all. So it was that as he grew older, he became deaf. He wasn't deaf when he came off the airplane in Johannesburg to visit me in his wheelchair and then proceeded to exhaust me in his few days in South Africa. But he became deaf over the next few years. And so he had to stop giving spiritual direction, something he loved so much. He would write me. I wasn't so good about writing back. But on Friday, I had a message from the society, a personal message at home that he had died, a long message telling me he had gone to bed, and you know, his whole routine. And I thought, what a dear man, and I miss him so much. I think that my ministry has been strengthened by Paul Wessinger, my belief that all are included at God's table, all are included in the Episcopal Church. And he loved me so much that no matter what I said to him, he would continue, he'd look at me, there'd be a pause of silence, a smile, a gleam in his eye, and he would say, "That's the way the Gospels lived. Don't ever forget that." Paul was a gay man, and in his later life, he began saying that in situations that unsettled those who just thought he was a monastic with no sexual feelings. And he allowed the Virginia Seminary to move to a new place under the deanship of Martha Horn. I think that I'm going to have to learn how to love him now that he's dead. I'm going to have to learn to keep those words of comfort in my head. And on this Memorial Day, I ask each of you, for that person in your life that has made you the person you are, made you live into the person God's calling you to be, that you see no longer, think of them, hold them up in prayer, and remember that they are with us always, and that we are called to carry the torch now. That is what the church did on Pentecost, light the torch yet again, and go forward, which we celebrate next week. Today we are still in that place of grief and hardship, of joy and loss, but we're starting to move forward. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.